Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. Mike and the Miners and Doug and the Conclave today are going to bring you the dirt on Anthony Fauci. Now, if you aren't ready for that, then you might want to turn it off, because the dirt that has come up, the miners have literally gone down into the mines of Kyrgyzstan, down into the uranium and the antimony and the gold and the silver, and they've brought you back some truly special quality high metals that show exactly who Anthony Fauci and his family are and their bunk buddy relationship to Klaus Schwab and Escher Weiser. So, Mike and the Miners, welcome to the show.
It is great to see the sunlight. Who would have ever thought studying about a physician would end up in the mines of Kyrgyzstan? only in this investigation.
Who even knew that Kyrgyzstan even existed? I mean,
yes,
no,
well,
really.
I don't want to disrespect them, but they're it's a big country. It's twice the size of Indiana, and it's mountainous. They call it the Switzerland of Asia. So it has a very similar terrain as Switzerland.
Klaus for telecommunications and networking for the country of Kyrgyzstan through the World Economic Forum places them last on the list of all countries. So I guess their mountains cause problems with communications and all this kind of stuff.
No. That's all hype. They have been pulling resources out of this country for centuries, many centuries. In fact, probably four centuries at least that we can see. Now, this is the European, mainly Swiss. So any idea that this is a backward country, wrong. It's been kept backward probably, but not because they don't have the wealth to take care of themselves. They do.
And since we're talking about Kyrgyzstan, how about Eurasia, Uranium One? I mean, those were empty Kyrgyzstan gold mines that were sold as part of that whole scam with the Clintons and with Frank Giustra. And so Kyrgyzstan, I think, is used for anything that they need to kind of keep hidden from probably communication from the news and so on and so forth. So it's not that it's back country. It's kind of like Azerbaijan, one of the major headquarters for the rogue CIA. Silk Airlines is basically the CIA. And so you have these countries that they work out of that I think you pointed out that Kyrgyzstan is very much like Switzerland in that it has a lot of resources and minerals and mountains, very mountainous. And basically, you have tracked some Italian-Swiss people connected to Fauci who then got connected to Kyrgyzstan and resource-fleeced Kyrgyzstan to this very day.
Right. We sort of jumped into the middle of this story, but absolutely, that's a part of this. And that's surprising, I guess. Nothing surprises us anymore with these people. So the public persona that Anthony Fauci gives is his dad was a pharmacist. He's got an Italian background. But when you really start digging, and by the way, this took, I would say a good 2 or 3 weeks before our people cracked the code on what they were hiding with him. His deep pocket family is called Abyss, A-B-Y-S. In fact, that's his mother's maiden name. And then we now have the information on the last 11 generations of the Abyss family. And we track it all the way back to the 15th century. And one thing is clear about these people, they are into royalty, they are into passing their aristocratic crest from father to son, daughter to mother, however they've got to do it to keep it in the family. And that's really what we see here, is that the Abyss family that Fauci was born into on his mother's side is a very powerful, has been a very powerful Swiss business, political, banking, industrial power since the 1500s.
And it's amazing because when we first got into this, we were looking at Klaus Schwab and finding out that he was really a German Jew who then used Switzerland as his neutral ground or his, I almost think of it as a demilitarized zone. You know, they're not allowed to go to war in Switzerland because that's where the bankers are and that's where the gold is kept and that's where all the, you know, Switzerland is the number one producer of gold in the world, but they don't have any active gold mines. I mean, it's because all the gold is melted down there and turned into basically gold bullion that's stored in the Zurich bullion vaults that are numbered bullion accounts. So to this very day, the Swiss, and you pointed this out earlier when we were speaking today, it isn't like the conspiracy theories that people have of the octagon Swiss pharaohs that are the elite Illuminati, that are the elite control of the whole world. Well, the last part of that's true. The control of the whole world is through Switzerland, but it's because they use it as a neutral ground for all the criminals to do their activity in, and nobody ever gets caught, nobody ever gets prosecuted. And for some reason, no bombs ever fall on them, though they are the source of the wars that created the bombs that were falling all around them. Yep. So now you get to see that Fauci, this is just an amazing thing that you discovered, is the Fauci escutcheon, the Fauci shield, family coat of arms. When you showed this to me, I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I worked with a lot of symbols, a lot of symbology, but nothing.
Yeah,
I don't know I didn't see this before. This is.
I was surprised when you were surprised because knowing what you know about ancient symbology of all kinds, I was really surprised. The crest, even on its surface, is quite offensive. And I am sure that there probably is some attempt to show this snake that's on it as some sort of relationship to medicine, which it does not. And the snake eating the child, I guess we need to describe what the crest shows. It's a crest of a viper eating a human child, got it about half consumed up to the waist. And the viper has a crown on its head. And then it's carrying a yoke with two buckets on each side of the yoke, carrying gold. That's the logo. And in another crest, there's three serpents. This actually has a name, except for the yoke and the gold. The serpent and the child eating the child is called a bischione. And it's unique to the Milan area. And what the Abyssus did is they borrowed that base way back. We're talking 16th, 15th century. And they added the yoke and the gold about the time they moved north to Chur from Plures, where the family was originally. And both of those were in Switzerland at the time. Since then, Plures has become part of Italy and has changed its name because it was wiped off the face of the map with an avalanche that occurred in 1618.
An avalanche which the Abyss family was culpable for.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a talc mine up on the mountain above this town called Plures, Plurs. And they were mining talc for talcum powder and other uses. Talc has a lot of uses. And we even use it in medicine, I understand. But also it's used for dry lubricants with machinery. And so talc has a lot of uses. There was a lot of mining of talc going on up in the mountains above Plures. And over the years, the ground had become unstable. So about the time that the Abysses moved to Chur was about the time the mountains started rumbling. And they noticed this rumble and these tremors. And then 9 years later, there was a massive avalanche and the entire town of Plures, which is about 2,500 people, disappeared. It was completely covered over. This was a 9/11 event back in 1618. And we've actually found primary documents now describing this particular event. And wouldn't you know it, the Abyssus all survived because they had moved. They'd gotten out of town.
I don't know. Maybe there's a term for this. A policide. It's the genocide of a city, which they darn well knew they were doing. That's the reason they got out of town before. This is soft substance that they were mining, and they probably didn't put in the right supports. They knew it was going to come down.
That's described.
Yeah,
that actually is what happened.
So in fact, they murdered these people, and they got away with it, so they weren't even held culpable for it. And then what did they do? Well, they moved on over to Switzerland, and then they moved the operation to Kyrgyzstan to start fleecing the resources of a previous Soviet country, a satellite country of the Soviet Union. Why? Because that's what was going on in those days. They moved into
that was much earlier. I mean, they moved to Kyrgyzstan in 1600s. So they were there 300 years before the Soviets ever showed up. But what they did go to and was well known was the Silk Road. This was a part of the Silk Road from China all the way to Europe. And it went through this area called Chuy, Chuy, in Kyrgyzstan. And that's where the Abyssus ran their trading and mining business for well over 100 years, right up to the time of our Civil War.
Right. So then I guess at that point, way back then, when they moved there, would Kyrgyzstan have been part of Russia?
No.
What was it part of? Just separate and independent?
It was just one of those areas between China and Europe that, like Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, all the stands were all different tribal groups moving in and out of those different areas. But back then, of course, that would have been Tsarist Russia. And it wasn't under Russia then.
That's interesting. Maybe that's the reason they were able to go in and fleece it so effectively, stealing the gold. They have a huge amount of gold mines, which they basically mined out to literally being empty gold mines, which were part of the whole Uranium One scam with the Clinton Foundation. And
well, actually, we did start looking into the Kyrgyzstan geological reports and find that there are, they say, 20 or 30 untapped gold mines. So when you say empty, it may be they never started. And they've got geological studies that show that there's gold and then there are hills. And it looks like there's a lot of gold, silver, uranium, coal. The country is extremely rich with resources. And the best those locals can do, Douglas, is up a lower middle class. That's the top end of their economic scale there. But Switzerland, by the way, is either number one or number two in their export list. So somehow the Swiss get all the goodies from this particular country. And as we started reading about this, we wondered, well, this is a landlocked country stuck right there in the middle of Eurasia. And the question is, how did the Swiss transport all of these resources back to Switzerland and back to Germany? Because we know they were supplying the Germans in World War II. And this may be the Swiss's secret stash. You know, the British had South Africa, Australia, Canada, and this was the Swiss's mechanism for pulling up all sorts of resources they needed for their particular type of commerce and banking.
And we need to remember that Escher Weiss, which also merged with, Sulzer, they were into nuclear power and uranium, and Kyrgyzstan is a great source of uranium, which again played into the Uranium One deal. So what we are seeing here is that the Swiss were probably nuclear, what do you call it when you're like a weapons dealer, you're a nuclear dealer, and you're providing the uranium, you're purifying it. Same thing with the gold. You're taking out the gold from all these other countries, bringing it to your country and putting the Swiss stamp on it. So going back to frame how it is that we're looking at framing Anthony Fauci is because once we had looked at Klaus Schwab and we realized that he was, you know, a Swiss and that the Swiss are always in neutral territory and nobody ever gets prosecuted in Switzerland and all the big bankers are there and the control of all the central banks is through the Bank for International Settlements. And all, you know, the gold bullion is still there, you know, all the same things that have been going on for hundreds of years through one world war after the next doesn't seem to affect Switzerland. But it isn't, as you had pointed out, that they are the elite who control the world. No, it's that the elite who control the world use Switzerland as their staging. So it became quite fascinating to look into the way that snakes began, you know, began to represent the what would be called Fauci's ancestral family. And these snakes then were eating people. Well, snakes are generally, ironically, a representation of germs. And he is the king of germ warfare. He's the king of biological warfare for the whole world, you know, through the National Institute of Health and his allergy and infectious disease. How come they put him in charge of everything? Because he's the one who's always been dealing with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Wellcome Trust and Burroughs Wellcome and the Gates and all these people who give money to pharmaceutical companies for vaccines. He's the number one vaccine peddler of the universe. So here we have his family crest being a serpent, which is kind of like a virus, eating children. Well, isn't that what's going on? And isn't that what he's been doing and promoting for the many decades that he's been at the NIH and for the last, 35 years in control of the NIH, even though he wasn't the head of it. Why? Because he always, go on the internet, look up a picture of him, you're going to see him receiving an award from who? The rich people through fake philanthropy giving him the money to do research on vaccines for viruses, when we know that there's never been an effective vaccine for any virus ever created. And we know that he has prevented the treatments that could have helped people with all of these different viruses and bacterial infections, but he won't allow them in this country through the NIH. And then you go back to his family, killed 2,500 people, and nobody was put in jail. They weren't even held as being culpable. Then they move on to another country and rip it off right into our current time. And here's Fauci acting as if he's just a sweet, innocent person who is a good doctor who's trying to help all of us. No, he's using the same propaganda that his family has used for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Let me jump in and go specifically to one of his relatives, his great-great-uncle. His name was Ragat Abyss. And Ragat was from Chur, Switzerland, which is on the eastern side of Switzerland. And he was a politician and mayor for over a dozen years. And then he moved into the federal government. And he was also had a company called Abyss and Company. And this company was a trading company. And at the same time he had this trading company, he was also the commissar of war in Switzerland. And that was a very powerful position. And he was the one that supplied for the Sonderbund War, he supplied the goods for the army in that particular affair. And it's clear that he was one of the key players in Switzerland. Because we've actually discovered a correspondence where he is corresponding with Alfred Escher and asking him for money to help with the war effort. And then in the scheme of things, within years, Alfred Escher, now get this list, he starts two different railroads in Switzerland. He starts Credit Suisse. He starts the Federal Institute of Technology, where Klaus Schwab attended, by the way, and he started Swiss Life. So clearly Escher and Abyss were movers and shakers in Switzerland, and they were going to make sure that their families were taken care of in the process of them reorganizing Switzerland. And that was the other big event. These men were part of the reorganization of Switzerland into its current modern canton system. And here we have Anthony Fauci's great-great uncle, the Commissar of War, driving all of that activity within Switzerland. And so I think what we see now metaphorically is we see another Commissar of War in the Abyss family, this time named Anthony Fauci, who has taken that war from a kinetic war where they're firing pieces of lead at each other, and now he's taken it into our bloodstream where he's using nanoparticles to actually attack our blood systems. And so we've got another Abyss Commissar of War. And by the way, Abyss, it does mean the Netherlands, Hell, Hades, and the other spelling for Abyss, A-B-Y-S, is A-B-Y-S-S, which is our word for abyss. And so it's not an accident, and it's not different meaning in Germany at the time. So this use of Fauci's use, his family's use of the snake eating the child, consuming a human child, is unique in my experience and all the crests I've ever seen. And why would a family aspire to identify with a viper, which in the Christian world at that time and still today means the devil or the serpent or the evil one, consuming children, and that would be the crest that all their children were born into and passed on to their children right up to Fauci. And you got to ask yourself, what are these people thinking if they're putting up on a pedestal the serpent eating children? And as you pointed out, Douglas, all these viruses and all these bacteria are actually eating our bloodstream. And so it's not just metaphorical.
No, and it's scary. And as you're looking at this, the name of the family is Abyss. There, on their crest is a serpent eating a child. In other words, blatant eugenicism or child sacrifice, and then later they add this yoke, or basically what looks like a scale, you know, and it's got gold in two different containers. Well, they went to Kyrgyzstan and they stole the gold. And how many of the children there did they kill? And did they experiment on them? Because there's not a lot of petroleum and natural gas in Kyrgyzstan.
A lot of coal. A lot of coal, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of coal, antimony, gold, copper, all the precious metals. So it's just a wealth. And as you say, I didn't know that there's still many gold mines that they haven't even tapped into. Well, I do know that there are resources in the earth that they won't go near because this would disturb the balance of the gold, especially the gold in the Zurich bullion numbered accounts. Mm-hmm. Because anytime that gold, which is unaccounted for, comes onto the market, it disturbs things tremendously. And we can see that central banks, that's the way that they usually cover their assets for when they're doing betting on the stock market or with derivatives or whatever brokering they're doing on the stock market. These bankers, especially the international bankers, and the big bankers, and you, as you pointed out, the Eschers and the, well, first off, the Schwab, good old Schwab is connected to the Escher Weiss family, and good old Fauci is connected to the Abyss family. Well, they're both into banking. They're both into resource manipulation and fleecing. They're both into uranium and nuclear. They're both into basically the modernization of technology through turbine engines and many other things, which we know they have top secret security clearances, so they're working in all the military projects. And then we know that companies like Glencore, which is nothing more than a CIA-started company, came along with Mark Rich, who, of course, was indicted for his insanity, and then later pardoned by Clinton, I believe. Mm-hmm. Basically, they come in see what's going on, and they start these companies like Glencore that do everything from pharmaceuticals down to gold mining, and you see this happening in the Abyss family, and you see it happening in the Escher Weiss family, and then Klaus Schwab is trying to make the World Economic Forum go all his direction, give the whole world over to him. Him and his family have been doing it for hundreds of years. Just let them do it. And then you have Fauci, who says, give me control of the entire globe. We've been killing people effectively for a long time. And right on my crest, it shows that's what we do as a living.
Yep. Yeah. I think I wanted to point out that when Mark Rich was pardoned was the same day, or maybe 24 hours later, that Bill Clinton and James B. Chandler were put on the Infrastructure Protection Council in 2001. So there was a lot of activity going on around repositioning technology, medicine, banking, right at that time, right as Clinton was leaving and Bush was coming in, that the events were set up for what we're dealing with today. And it's all connected. It's all connected to these old line families and this Abyss family specifically. Yeah, we see the connection with Klaus Schwab, because Schwab even went to the university where Escher set up, and that Abyss was probably funding those efforts as they set up the modern Swiss banking system. So this Ragat Abyss had just about every important position, including attorney general of the new federal Swiss state, than you can imagine. And so he certainly passed those learnings on to his children and their grandchildren and right down to Fauci. So his relative was Fauci's grandfather, and he was Fauci's great-great uncle. And so we've seen this family now back for 12 generations. And we see the Kyrgyzstan connection is very strongly, and it is very likely that that is the secret source of much of Hitler's resource base that he had that wasn't controlled by the British or Americans, and it came out of Kyrgyzstan. So how they got it out of there is a fascinating logistics issue, because it's a landlocked country. But we do know today that Glencore, which seems to have be the successor of the Abyss company, has more ships than the British Navy. So clearly the Swiss rely on the Navy for a lot of their activity. And wouldn't you know it, that all of the satellite communication and international communication in our country and in Britain is controlled by the Navy, by the Admiralty out of England. And our Navy takes orders from the Admiralty. And they probably also direct Glencore and the Swiss.
Exactly. And so now we have the British East India Company, or the Dutch East India Company, in a new form, sponsored by the CIA from stolen gold, which is held in Switzerland and controlled out of Switzerland, because that's where the headquarters of the rogue CIA is, which is an international organization. So when I say CIA, it covers all of the intelligence agencies. So and rogue means they all used to have top secret security clearances. They found out what the gig was, and now they go to work for a corporation. So the rogue CIA is called a corporation, and it has over 3,000 separate companies. And some of them are the biggest companies in the world. And they were started with the gold assets that we know were fleeced after World War II. So anyway, let's go back. The Swiss flag is square, just like the Vatican flag. And it has the red cross on it, which is the symbol of St. George or the Templars. Also later, the Hospitallers. So in Switzerland, you have literally a mix of Jesuits, Templars, Hospitallers, Knights of Malta, both the British and the Vatican, and you get to see it as the neutral ground where the British are facing off against the Vatican. And who ends up winning? Well, is it going to be the Savoy family, who all believe they descended from the Merovingians? So the Merovingians, you have the Windsors saying that they're descended, so they're the blood lineage of Jesus, according to some versions. The Habsburgs thinks they are. The Savoys think they are. And so you get to see the Vatican banking the bankers of the Vatican were in Venice, and later, literally the Banco family, that's where the word bank comes from. They were the Jews who were able to use usury to loan the Crusaders, who were Christians, because they didn't allow charging interest on money. And so these things then went up Italy, they went into Switzerland, and they're still there. And then they spread to, of course, Germany, Holland, England, and then to America. And then the whole central banking system is controlled out of Switzerland. So it's not an exaggeration to say that a lot of these elements are in Switzerland, but to say that it is a coordinated effort of the Illuminati, of the Savoys, of what is the descendants of the Pharaohs, which they are, but then so are the British. Or so you look at these blood lineages, the blood lineages of Jesus, literally residing in Switzerland. That's where they usually choose their home to reside. That's all true. And then you have Adam Weishaupt founding the Illuminati so that he could then allow groups into Masonry that weren't allowed before. And so that has been turned into the conspiracy of all conspiracies. So anytime anyone wants to, you know, completely draw a Paul across your eyes, they simply mention the Illuminati. Well, yes, they have their, it was originally founded in Switzerland. So a lot of these things are there, but they're not necessarily coordinated, is what you pointed out. But what you are pointing out is that these old, old families go back to Chur, and that they have been doing this kind of ripoff since the, it's a certain type of almost elitist imperialism, much like the British imperialism of Cecil Rhodes, which basically believes that they should rule the world. And that sounds as if that's what Fauci's doing now, isn't he? He's ruling the whole world. And you get to see that Klaus Schwab thinks that he should be ruling the whole world. And then you find out that they're bosom buddies and that they made all the plans for these vaccines years and years and
years. Yeah, that's what we're seeing, that both Fauci and Klaus Schwab were placed in their positions. I mean, when you think about it, Schwab started the World Economic Forum in 71 and has never done anything else. And you see that Fauci, ever since about 82 or 83, has been in NIH. No, he was there before that, but as director for the longest time. So when anybody has the same position for that long, you know they're corrupt. Because there's no accountability. Who's he report to? Well, clearly not the American people.
And then you have the fake Red Cross, which receives more money than probably any other philanthropic group on the face of the earth besides the Vatican for refugees. And that you have tracked that down, and that goes back to these families. And then you have the International Crisis Group, which always goes back to the same philanthropist. And who's always standing in the picture? Fauci.
Yep. With Soros. There's one picture of him with Soros, Bill Gates Sr., and who was the other one? Fauci. Oh, and Herman Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, all in the same, all together getting an award from the Carnegie Foundation.
And no one's going to notice that the NIH and the CDC receive more money through philanthropy from the very people who benefit from them creating the vaccines, which, remember, the CDC owns most of the vaccines, and they make well over $4 billion a year by leasing those vaccines out to pharmaceutical companies who are then not held culpable for any deaths, any Asperger's, any kind of illness that arises out of these, any contraindications. There is a vaccine court and the pharmaceutical companies are exempt. So who does that? The CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, but they always forget to put P on it. And prevention, because they're not into prevention. When all of this hit, when swine flu hit, when Ebola hit, what was the one thing that was always the same in every one of these cases? The CDC and the NIH weren't prepared. And they needed billions of dollars to get prepared all of a sudden, very quickly. And then what happens? They say they're going to make a vaccine and they don't. Not for a virus. They're never going to be able to make an effective vaccine for a virus. That just isn't going to exist, except maybe in the future.
Well, here we go again. I'm emphasizing the fact that I have a civil engineering background. If I had a civil engineer working for me that failed in every building he ever tried to build, I'd fire the guy. So here we've got Fauci that's hung around since 30, 35 years and has failed in everything he's done. And yet he still gets to do what he wants to do. And that shows you who's really in control of our country. And it's certainly not anybody that has our interests at heart. I just lost my train of thought on one thing.
Well, you know, let me bash Fauci a bit. We're not bashing him for what he's well known. He and Birx invented AIDS. They not only invented AIDS, in the very first year of AIDS, he took AIDS from people who were dying from their intestines, put it in other people, and created virions. These virions have the natural resistance because of the in your gut, you actually produce white blood cells. So if they could get the reaction of people who were fighting against the HIV, which is a man-made virus exactly like coronavirus, if they could get the reaction, then they were going to use those to make medicines to counteract HIV and other things, right? No, there's 27 of them, 28 of them. Remdesivir is one of them. All 28 are not allowed in America because who won't allow them? Anthony Fauci. He won't allow the treatments which have been used in India for hundreds of years. They get malaria and they do one of a few things, but one thing they do, they go to the corner store and they get hydroxychloroquine and they take it and they get over malaria. Many viruses react with a treatment with hydroxychloroquine plus with zinc and plus with other things. Plus certain vitamins. So there's these things that he knows that he won't even allow. But he allows an emergency use only vaccine, which is not a vaccine. It's a viral vector, protein autoimmune messenger RNA stimulator. And it is the most dangerous thing ever created that has been put into the human bloodstream. And he is the father of it. Because he's allowing it at Pfizer, he's allowing it at BioNTech, he's allowing it at Johnson & Johnson, which they've now closed those shots down. He's allowing it at Moderna, which he has huge ownings in. He owns a lot of stock he owns, as well as he gets to develop. The money that is donated to him, he gets to direct it to Moderna and his other personal interests, as well as he's taken billions and given them to the P4 labs throughout the world for bio weaponry because it's illegal in America. So the NIA is the closest thing. The allergy and infectious disease part of the NIH is him. And that's the closest thing we have to bioweaponry. So at Fort Dix and other places, Bethesda, Maryland, and so on and so forth, of course they did biological warfare. And of course he's well aware of it. But on paper, it says that they and the pharmaceutical companies can't do it. So he farms it out. He farmed it out to the Wuhan P4 lab. That, and he made sure that the Canada lab gave to the P4 lab the synthetic virus that we now call coronavirus 19. That was all Fauci. So don't even get me started. This man is one of the evilest people on the face of the earth. And why the only reason he has any control is because the head of the NIH allows him to control the NIH and the the HHA assistant director for preparedness listens to Fauci and listens to the head of the CDC, and they listen to the World Health Organization as the four pandemic laws started in 2008 and renewed four times that passed by our Senate and Congress. They're illegal. They're unconstitutional. They're stupid. And anyone who would read them realizes that anything can go for a pandemic, and there is no measure for determining when the pandemic is over. So once we just entered into this pandemic, according to the laws, it may never end. And Anthony Fauci is the author of that.
Well, they don't want it to end because that this is a means of control. And they're getting very close, I think, to mass control. But they're not there yet. And I think that one of the things this has taught me is that with these senior people we need to have patriots all over the world really digging into their backgrounds. And it takes time. This takes time and a lot of meticulous attention to detail, and recognize that there's a lot of propaganda that's been layered over most of our media so that it's really difficult to understand who these people really are. Because the story on Fauci is just your typical boy makes good, work for his father in a pharmacy, and then went off to university, and then magically got a job at NIH and has never gone anywhere else since then. But what we now see is that he was picked by not his father's side, the Italian side, but by his mother's side, the Abyss side, which was mostly Swiss, a little Italian. And then we start seeing the track back, and we see that this was a highly recruited person with lots of secrets in the family, and so he could be controlled. And so they placed him there, and he's been there ever since. And I'm sure he's been politically protected from any kind of accountability, and he's just gotten very good at it. So he spent like 30, 40 years getting real good at learning how to fool us and how to trick us and use jargon to throw off criticism and then just plain make contradictory statements if that doesn't work, and then make people go crazy trying to figure out which of his statements is true. Well, there's one key principle about lying. If you lie here, you're a liar. And so we've got to stop even listening to anything he says. And that's what I don't get about many people in the American public. They'll know he's lying, and yet next time he says something about a subject, they'll give him space. They'll listen to it. A liar is a liar, always a liar. And clearly he is. Now, this whole issue with his family background, this Abyss family background, I don't know if he had a PR person look at this, but I'll tell you what, the internet was buried in trying to get to this information. We had to go through multiple countries and back doors to try to figure out who his family was. But once we did that, boom, there's all kinds of information out there. And he didn't tell the American public about any of this background, about any of these relationships. And so one key, I think, takeaway, Douglas, is that it's clear from this research that Anthony Fauci conspires with foreign governments and foreign players to harm America. He's a foreign agent. It's really clear. And he's certainly a Swiss foreign agent. And Switzerland's, last time I checked, was not even a member of Five Eyes, which is the joke with Britain. So I think he's got real serious problems, as people should start asking questions about who is this Abyss family and who are you related to in Switzerland that you're not telling us about, and specifically with Klaus Schwab. And then I think we're going to see him start to squirm.
Oh, yes. And that's what we find is look for the weakest link. And that is where it may break that chain. And the chain here is with the globalists. He is a foreign agent. He's the worst because he sells out to the elite from all the different countries, all of whom really are conspiring and competing for world hegemony. Klaus Schwab thinks he can run the world. The Council on Foreign Relations thinks it can run the world. The Royal Institute of International Affairs thinks they can run the world. There's imperialist bankers who think they can run. So they're all fighting against each other. But what's really important for me to remember is that when you say the big pharma wars that we're in World War III. It's the war of the pharmaceutical companies against your bloodstream. It's Yep. The vaccine wars. And when you say that, you have to also, to understand it fully, say petrodollars. Because all the drugs that they give us, almost all of them, are made from petroleum. And it is the Rockefellers who set us on that path. When they had all the extra petroleum and all the different types of petroleum, they started the big pharma companies. And so now, what do they put in those? I challenge you. look at your drugs and go online and see what your active and inactive ingredients are. In most of the drugs, if it's a pill, one of the major inactive ingredients is talc powder. Well, that comes from the Fauci family, and it's in all of our pharmaceuticals, and there's no reason for it to be there except that it's a filler that they pay a fortune for, and it's an inactive drug that most people are allergic to. Some people say it's a carcinogen, and it certainly is not good for you. They have said it's a carcinogen when you use it as talcum powder on a baby's butt. So why would we put it in our mouth? So when you say big pharma, you're saying big petro.
Well, let me introduce, since you brought up talc, another big use of talc, which ties to the Escher Weiss company, is its use as a dry lubricant. It's got a particular molecular structure that's very slick. I'm just going to summarize it. It's very slick. And you know that if you put powder in your, it's easier for your, it cuts down friction. And what it appears is that they were a major, the Abyss family was a major talc supplier to Switzerland and Germany, and specifically the machining companies in Switzerland, which is Escher Weiss. And they were building turbines and compressors and nuclear reprocessing capabilities and these high performance bearings where they needed something like talc to be a dry lubricant. Like with their hydro dams, they can't be squirting grease and oil in their bearings for these big hydro plants. So they use various kinds of dry lubricant, and talc is one. And I'll bet if we keep digging, we're going to see that the Abyss family was supplying the entire engineering prowess of both Germany and Switzerland.
Yes, and to this very day, it's still added, and no one knows why. It's like fluoride in the water. They had an excess of it in this town, and they started putting it in the water, and then it caught on, and then they made up the lies about it helping your teeth and blah, 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 blah. Same thing with talc powder. Talc powder was told, oh, it's the absolute best thing you can put on your skin, so on and so forth. No. It's as big a lie as the following. In 2008, Anthony Fauci did a study. He studied the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak, which supposedly killed between 50 to 100 million people. And so he studied all the sources at the time. And what he found out in his conclusions, you can go read it, it's very, very, very direct, is that over half of the deaths from Spanish flu were created by people wearing masks and contracting bacterial pneumonia. This was in 2008, and somehow he's already forgotten that and recommends that we wear 2 and 3 masks, or no masks, or a lot of masks, or whatever he decides on whatever day. Obviously, one of two things. Either he is the son of the father of lies, because every time he opens his mouth, he lies, or he has dementia, or he's given himself one too many vaccinations, because his brain does not work, or he does it on purpose, one or the other, and he has misled this country into the entire globe, into the worst economic attack, but even worse than that. It's an attack on the human I am. The sacred ego in your heart has been attacked, and now with the vaccines that are available, they are literally killing people. 2,200, last count I checked just the other day, 2,230 people have died from the vaccinations just here in America that have been reported by the CDC as contraindications. How many have really died? We don't know. But we do know that 50,000 people have been hospitalized and or couldn't go back to work and are in some cases permanently damaged. So how is that? If they allow one person took too much comfrey once, which is an herb that grows in my garden. And I love eating it, especially when it's fresh. But one person had like completely overdosed on comfrey. So what did they do? They removed it from every shelf in America because of one death. But thousands of vaccine deaths, and it goes on? Yes. Why? because of Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. The head of the CDC and the head of the World Health Organization for the United Nations, that is the group that is calling these shots. Trump divorced himself from that group and stopped paying them money and put them under investigation. And now they're completely restored and they are completely ran by a puppet of China. Tedros is a puppet of China. He is a communist Chinese. And that is who is determining our reaction to this fake pandemic. So Anthony Fauci is at the cutting edge of that. He is their number one propagandist. Why? Because his family, as well as his good close family, the Swabs, have been doing this through the design of their corporate family as a corporate dynasty for hundreds of years. They even put it on their own family crest as literally being devil worshipers who kill children for the sake of gold.
And they cooperate with royalty. That's the crown on the serpent's head.
Yes. And no matter how you interpret that symbol, whether that's Lucifer being crowned as the head of his own religion or whatever, then that eats children, that steals gold, that is the thing that weighs the soul, and the soul is weighed against a monster who eats children, and that they proudly display that, and that Fauci has not divorced himself from that, that means that he is proudly that.
Well, let me tell you, when the first time I saw that, I said, oh, this is fake. Somebody's done this as a meme. And once we started digging, we said, no, this is a thing. And it comes out of the banking families of Milan from way back in the 15th and the 14th century. They were already using that serpent and eating the child then. And you got to think, well, this was back in Christian Europe. What in the world are these people thinking? And then at first you're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Well, it can't mean that. It must have meant something different back then. And so we started digging into the old documents, 500-600 years old, and found out no, it meant the same thing back then. The serpent was the devil, and so this family was glorifying the devil, crowning the devil, and letting the devil eat children. And I think that children was probably not just children, but rather humanity. And so the essence that makes us human, that's what that, I think, that serpent is consuming. And that is the logo that the Abysses, including Anthony, grew up looking at and probably emulating. That's the sad part of this. He's probably emulating that which he's been taught his whole life by this Abyss family.
And essentially, there couldn't be a better symbol for eugenicism, for depopulation, for Satan worship,
right,
for killing children, Moloch. I mean, literally, if we were to name this serpent, it would be the being who eats children, which has been around for a long, long time. And they say that many of the rich elite worship this god who eats children, and that they literally sacrifice children. Well, I don't know, but it's right on the crest, and it is disturbing to look at, and it is impossible to ignore. And here you have Anthony Fauci meeting in groups who are the people who are in them are the founders of eugenicism. All the way back to the beginning, when he was a young man, he met with eugenicists, depopulationists, and he is supposed to be running our Institute of Health. No, he runs the Institute of Death. And he works for the pharmaceutical company. And he travels all over the world. He gets every award that there is, because the people who create the awards are the same people who donate the money through false philanthropy that then give it to institutes that he runs that then creates a need for vaccines. And then the pharmaceutical companies get the contract leased from the CDC. This is a scam that is one of the worst. We have been harping on this for literally 30 years. I can show you books that I helped write that harped on this and said that the war right now is against your bloodstream. And that if you let a single shot into your body without knowing what's in it, and trust me, if you look, you will not like what's in it. unless it's, you know, some simple, direct, you know, type of therapy. And there are so many natural therapies that do require injections. But the point is, vaccines have enteroviruses in them. They have, the coronavirus is now going to be in all the new, did you hear what Fauci just said? Fauci just said that he went for a booster shot. So he's already had two shots. So he went for a double booster shot to fight the variants.
Hang on.
And that he hopes that by June, there will be an annual shot that he will recommend that everybody get, which is exactly what I predicted, because that's what the CDC said they were going to do from the beginning. And yet that you will not hear that on any mainstream media. We are still dealing with the shocking deaths of people who have horrible deaths because of instantaneous reactions to this vaccine.
He lied to us about his family. He lied to us about his background. He lied to us about his alliances and his friends in Switzerland and in Europe. And now we're going to listen to him? No, he's a liar. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. That is evident. So I don't know how much more we need to know before we stop listening to him.
We did a report on him, that intelligence report that showed that those virions that he created, that they're accepted throughout the whole world in many countries. There are dozens of drugs that heal viruses, because in America they say you can't heal a virus, except with a vaccine, which they say no vaccine is effective to stop a virus. But throughout the whole rest of the world, there are treatments created out of Fauci's own work back in the second year of the existence of HIV, which I tell you he helped create. And it was, we can go into the detail of that. So if that shocks
you,
know,
you were a part of some commission that dealt with that for the public school system, which you dealt with.
Yes. The Surgeon General came to a master class I was in, and we spent the entire year creating a policy for this before it became huge, because they knew that it was going to, they thought that it was going to spread faster than HIV did. And of course, that's because they gave it out in the smallpox and the hepatitis B shot. They literally gave it to what they called indigent populations throughout the world. So HIV in its first instance was directly shot into the bloodstream of people. Indigent populations, they called them. And they literally, we were shown the ads, full page ads all throughout the whole country. Go get this shot. Go get it now. You are a population that is at risk. Well, that is exactly what's happening now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They try to fearmonger us into believing that we're at risk and that every single person can kill us with a virus that they don't even know they have and they don't have any symptoms for. And by the way, they will be over it 99.8% guaranteed. But we're going to take a vaccine that is killing harming as much as 20% of the people who are given this vaccine. Well, hello, that's a fantastically greater number than the number of COVID. And the COVID deaths aren't COVID deaths. Those are pneumonia deaths, flu deaths, some heart disease deaths, and other comorbidity deaths all lumped together under COVID. It's a big fat lie. Now, some people have died of COVID, but what is COVID? COVID is a flu. COVID is nothing more than a man-made flu. Well, that's what they put in the flu shots every year. This year has three separate flus from the most virulent flus that we've seen in America in the flu shots. So if you go get the flu shot, it's 65% sure that you'll get the flu. If you get the pneumonia shot, about the same percentage, and it's even greater than that if you get the shingles shot. So vaccines do not work, and you can put that stuff in your body if you want. I'm not going to put it in my body or my children's body. And I'm going to look into the fact that this is not a vaccine. It's not a live vaccine. It is a viral vector, and it is experimental for emergency use only. And when you sign the waiver, because I just talked with somebody who got it and signed the waiver a couple days ago, there's the bottom line. Your life insurance policy is null and void if you get the shot. After one shot, it's null and void. So if you die, your life insurance policy doesn't cover you, because you are working with an experimental drug and you have voluntarily and willingly subjected yourself to it. And that's what you sign, and you give away your rights, even for your own insurance policy. not to mention the fact that they warn you, get your sperm put into a sperm bank before your first shot of the vaccine, because your sperm may not be viable after that. They tell women it is very possible your placenta will not be able to connect once you have this shot. They tell us that. It's all over the news. Why people get this shot, I cannot comprehend. But Dr. Fauci, when he tells you he got the shot, notice that he's got the shot. You can't see the shot. There's no needle on that thing. He didn't get the shot.
He's a liar.
It's another fake. If you notice, you don't get shot in your shoulder blade. That's where the picture shows him being shot with the needle, because it's behind his back and the camera can't see it.
He's a huckster.
Philip got the shot just a few weeks ago. Philip of Britain. I say that a number of people who have had these really quick, unexpected deaths are because within 2 weeks they'd had one or both of the shots. So beware, but this is true with all vaccines. It goes back to Wellcome Trust and Burroughs Trust. It goes back to the people who invented pills to begin with, who put talc in those pills from the beginning, knowing that talc was a possible carcinogen.
Fauci Abyss family.
Fauci Abyss family has a little piece of many of the pills that you take each day. So little Fauci is getting his little piece for his family that believes in serpents eating children.
Well, this research proves that he's collaborating with foreign enemies. No question. So let's do something about it. Let's just stop complaining, right? Let's make sure that we fire him.
Fire the NIH, fire the CDC, fire the World Health Organization, get rid of the pandemic acts, and we will be just fine, because there should be no such thing, not in our age. That means a cold is a pandemic. That means a flu is a pandemic. That means your sinuses acting up as a pandemic. I mean, anything can be considered bacterial or viral pandemic if it shows up in three separate zones that are recognized by the World Health Organization. That is the only rule. So three people with the flu in three separate countries are reason enough to call a pandemic to close down the whole global economy.
Well, it's kind of like the Patriot Act. Once you get the laws the way you want them, then you can say whatever you want. Then you use your friends in the media to pitch it, and half the population will follow you. And that's enough, as they can see.
And as we have pointed out so many times, it is the demons who enter into these laws. And it is our politicians who create those laws. And so many of the things that you have pointed out, Mike and the Miners have demonstrated, don't worry, that's perfectly legal. Here's the law that allows them to do this illegal thing. And you're going, why didn't I know that? You know, according to the Roman law, which we all serve underneath, you must know every law there is and its impact upon your life. You're responsible for that. We don't know half the laws that they have instigated that are not for our best interest. So thank you for your great research. I'm glad to know that my intuition that I did not like Klaus Schwab and I did not like Anthony Fauci was proven out by Mike and the Miners. So thank you. Thank you. Your research is astounding. And
thank you to the whole team. And we have to keep digging. And what we really need is for more patriots around the country and around the world to keep digging. I'd love to hear from Kyrgyzstan and hear more about the history of the Abyss family, because so far we haven't been able to find any.
Beautiful. So wake up there, Kyrgyzstanis, and give Mike and the Miners a call. Thanks again, Mike.